This is Matt Connickson. I'm the sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, farm news on the Red River Farm Network on this 4th of July morning. I'm Don Wick, and in the news, heavy rains being seen at this hour on the North Dakota border with both the extreme, I should say the Canadian border, with extreme northeastern North Dakota and into northern Minnesota as well. Some of the areas receiving rain include Langdon and Cavalier. Showers also in that Greenbush to Baudette area. Showers just moving out of Bemidji. And there's some heavier rains at International Falls. We also have some lighter showers seen in far southwestern North Dakota. Over the past 24 hours, NDON reports rainfall totals of 91 hundredths at Cavalier, 76 hundredths at Dickinson, Rolla, North Dakota, 3/4 inch, 53 hundredths at Roseau, Forest River, North Dakota, 24 hundredths, Rugby, 13 hundredths. We have a hot and humid day on the way today. Severe thunderstorms remain a possibility throughout the day. Markets finished the holiday shortened week with a short covering bounce. There also was buying interest ahead of President Trump's speech in Iowa, with speculation a trade deal with China would be announced. That didn't happen, but Trump did repeat a trade announcement that was made on Wednesday.
And in breaking news just yesterday, we reached a historic trade agreement with Vietnam to open their markets to American exports with zero tariffs. They get zero tariffs. And you're going to be giving them vast amounts of farm product, including beef, pork, poultry, dairy, and pure Iowa ethanol. You're going to be given all of those products.
Meanwhile, the Chinese Commerce Ministry is upset with that U.S. trade deal with Vietnam. Vietnam is giving the U.S. tariff-free access to its markets. This trade deal also goes after China's practice of transshipments with a 40% tariff. With transshipping, cargo is transferred from one ship to another to avoid tariffs by hiding the product's true country of origin. Due to that language, the Chinese Commerce Ministry is threatening to retaliate against the United States. President Trump's 90-day pause on tariffs is scheduled to expire on Wednesday of next week. There is a flurry of activity ahead of that deadline. The South Korean trade minister will meet with U.S. trade officials this weekend to try and hammer out an agreement. On Air Force One last night, Trump said a deal is also expected to happen with India, but he was far less optimistic about Japan. Trump said letters would be going out to other countries informing them about higher tariff rates. President Donald Trump is expected to sign his one big beautiful bill today, keeping his July 4th deadline. The bill passed the House with a 218 to 214 margin. That's after it was approved by the Senate 51-50, with Vice President J.D. Vance breaking that tie. House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson said this legislation is a game changer and a victory for rural America. Ranking Member Angie Craig called the bill a disgrace that will leave farmers and rural communities behind. As soon as that bill passed, the old email box was filled with reaction from farm groups. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval said more than half of American farmers are losing money, so the increased reference prices were desperately needed. National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue said the big beautiful bill strengthens the farm safety net and extends key tax provisions, but the cuts to SNAP will divide the Farm Bill coalition. The National Association of Wheat Growers cited the increase in reference prices and more affordable crop insurance options. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association said it avoids a year-end tax increase that would have put many farms and ranches out of business. The extension of key tax provisions and investments in commodity programs was recognized by the National Corn Growers Association and the American Soybean Association. The U.S. Dairy Export Council welcomed the doubling of USDA funding for trade promotion, and renewable energy groups applauded an extension of the 45Z Clean Fuel Production Credit. According to University of Minnesota Extension entomologist Ian McRae, the number of aphid species in traps rose slightly this past week, but were mostly non-vector species. With rising temps and subsequent reproduction, McRae says it's going to be coming into a time of growth for these aphids. Speaking at the Iowa State Fairgrounds, President Trump ticked through a long list of policy goals and past accomplishments, emphasizing a firm immigration policy. However, Trump said agriculture would see some exceptions.
If a farmer is willing to vouch for these people, in some way, Christy, I think we're going to have to just say that's going to be good, right? You know, we're going to be good with it, because we don't want to do it where we take all of the workers off the farms. We want the farms to do great like they're doing right now.
Trump was joined by members of his cabinet at that event, including Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, and Interior Secretary Doug Burgum. A group of county, state, and national cattle organizations have sent a letter to Ag Secretary Rollins asking her to reverse the decision to resume live cattle imports from Mexico. Those groups include RCAF USA, the Independent Beef Association of North Dakota, and South Dakota Stock Growers Association. They said New World screwworm would have a catastrophic impact on U.S. agriculture. Earlier in the week, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association announced its support for USDA's phased-in approach to border reopening. Drought coverage this past week declined in all regions of the country except the far western United States. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says the drought monitor had positive news for row crops.
Corn production area in drought, that number was 21% on June 3rd. Not too bad, but it's gotten better since, and only 12% of U.S. corn production area in drought. Even better for soybeans, where you saw a halving of drought coverage going from 16% in early June to 8%.
There's a different story for the small grains.
The U.S. barley crop, over half, 56% in drought on July 1st. That is more than double the June 3rd number of 24%. And also on July 1st, spring wheat area in drought, 29%, up from 19% on June 3rd.
NDSU Extension's latest issue of the Crop and Pest Report highlights post-anthesis, or flowering, N-application, nitrogen applications for small grains. Soil science specialist Brady Gettle says this practice is all about protein content and less about yield.
When we reach this time of year where the small grain crop is flowering, or when it wraps up flowering, so what we call post-anthesis, it's a really good time to consider practices that are going to build up the quality of that crop. So in this case, we're looking at protein content. And through applying a relatively small amount of nitrogen following that flowering stage, about 30 pounds per acre. Our research shows that we can gain about 0.5% in protein from that application. In some of the research plots, it also shows a little bit of a boost in yield, but not enough to say that post-anthesis N is a practice for increasing yield. But we can get fairly consistent results for improving the protein content of that crop as well.
Cattle says they're seeing signs of nutrient deficiency in many crops this year.
It's been a wild year. So I'm actually looking at some tissue tests right now that I collected over the past couple of weeks, and we're seeing deficiency symptoms in that crop ranging from nitrogen to potassium to sulfur to zinc to chloride to a whole host of things. And I think there's a couple of different factors that are causing that this year. One is, as we know, in a lot of areas of the state, the crop has just gotten off to a pretty slow, struggling start. And with that, there's just a little bit slower root growth. The crops really haven't been able to take advantage of the nutrients we have in our soil. The other aspect of that, too, is when a crop is struggling, it makes it a lot easier for other issues to start manifesting themselves.
The OPEC Plus countries will be meeting this weekend. The 8 member countries are expected to approve a fourth production increase of 411,000 barrels of oil per day. That's for the month of August. Oil prices are ticking lower, with the idea that strategy could result in an oversupply. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will be leading a trade mission to Switzerland and Germany this November. With trade wars and global disruptions, Walz says Minnesota is working to strengthen its trade relationships and expand exports. Applications to join the business delegation must be submitted by mid-August. And Syngenta Crop Protection is petitioning the Supreme Court to intervene in lawsuits claiming the use of paraquat caused Parkinson's disease. This case is focused primarily on jurisdictional issues. DTN reports CropLife America, which represents the crop protection business, has filed a friend of the court brief. North Dakota is conducting its annual weed resistance survey. North Dakota State University, Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has that story.
NDSU is one of the organizations that are participating in the annual survey. Extension weed specialist Joe Eichley says the results they're seeing this year, they're not that much different from previous years.
It is basically the same old suspects. The main agenda for the survey this year is once again kochia and pigweeds with a real focus on water hemp. There are some new weeds we're asking folks for this year. So these test kits that are available at every county extension office also have a coin envelope that's labeled either green foxtail or wild oak. And so that is a test that we are currently working with the National Ag Genotyping Center to develop. So it won't be rapid results on those grass species this year. But the hope is to get this test fully developed over the winter. And that will be two new species that we want to add with a very rapid turnaround on results next year.
Eichley says the tools used to identify resistance have significantly improved.
What's really nice is the tests that we currently have available, we just need some leaf tissue because then they'll just extract DNA from that leaf tissue, and these mechanisms of resistance that we can test for are generally a single target site mutation within the weeds. You know, what that really means of importance for us is they can quickly get the DNA extracted, find that mutation exists, and we know that some of these mutations confer resistance. Within 7 days, folks will have results in their hand.
And growers need to know where resistance is showing up in fields at the county level. Eichley says that means participating in the survey is pretty important.
It's quite important, and one thing I always like to talk about that I think is an extra step of importance with this survey is that the only one who gets their individual results back or the person who submits that test. And we will put these county-level maps together, and that will really help us kind of track where we're seeing glyphosate resistance, Group 9 herbicide glyphosate, and then our Group 2 and Group 14 herbicides, resistance in kochia and water hemp to those products, which are all very important for soybean production. That's the other important thing. If we just want as many samples as possible, really get a better understanding of if there are hot spots, some of the areas to look out for, so that folks can plan their herbicide programs better.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Once again, markets are closed today. That in observance of the Independence Day holiday. Trade will be resuming Sunday night for the overnight trade, as is usual. We did see some higher prices in corn and soybeans, a bit of weakness in the wheat trade yesterday. Live cattle and feeder cattle both stronger, with lean hogs with some weakness. On the farm calendar, the Minnesota State Cattlemen Association summer tour will be taking place Tuesday, July 15th. They'll be in Little Falls, Minnesota. Always a great tour that is organized by the Minnesota Cattlemen Association. The South Dakota Cattlemen Association hosting their region roundup in Mitchell. That'll be on July 16th. They have more on the schedule as well. Have a great day and a safe 4th of July. This is the Red River Farm Network.